What we're dealing with here is a total lack of respect for the law.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
You are listening to Shadow Resistance Radio.
Shadow Resistance Radio, everybody. What do you think about that? Resistance. Resistance, Queensryche. And today's show, what I'm going to be talking about, Unintended Consequences. Famous book by John Ross. And I'm asking the question, is Joe Stack a wake-up call to America? Stay tuned, here is Axeman with Think. We'll be talking about that on the other side.
Sinister forces are hard at work behind the scenes, plotting our enslavement.
Sometimes it appears that we're reaching a period when our senses and our minds will no longer respond to moderate stimulation. We seem to be approaching an age of the gross. Persuasion through speeches and books is too often discarded for disruptive demonstrations aimed at bludgeoning the unconvinced into action.
We wait in hiding, lie wait. We secretly do great plans. A spaceless kingdom of the soul, of doom of the will. We wait in hiding, lie wait. Slowly change our blood.
Teaching man not to defend himself when he is the constant victim of brutal attacks.
I am committed to defeating not only the good work of charities, but the values that will bring lasting peace. And we have a great opportunity during this time of war to lead the world towards suicide and murder.
We believe that peace is at hand.
But how do you feel about the situation with the police? How they reacted to this? Do you come away with a sense, a different sense of what the role of the police is? Or, I mean, what do you make of this kind of treatment?
It's hard for me because I was very blinded, like most of our society is, and I generally thought that their oath to protect and serve was just that. And I actually even brought up question early in the day that, you know, maybe these men and women are just feeding their family. Maybe they're just doing what they're told, and, you know, if we behave, they'll behave. I was behaving. I had prayer beads in my hand the entire time. And now I fear not only for myself and the people that want to protest, but for our country, as these faceless soldiers stormed toward us, firing upon us. There was no warning, there was no protection, there was no concern for life or child. We were shot from behind in a lot of the cases, which shows that we're retreating, that we're walking away.
Do they lie to you? Are their fingers bloody? If you ask questions, would you hear the fool?
They're real, they're here, and very crafty people.
The principles for which we stand are the principles of fair play and a square deal for every man and every woman in the United States.
Decision-making so intense that you can escape only by thinking.
Shadow Resistance Radio. This is Jake. Let's see. Having a few problems here with the live stream of late. So basically, no one's listening live today. I'd like to just kind of throw that statement out there so everyone is aware of what's been going on. Been working on my port forwarding problem here. And we'll be able to get that live stream back up for those of you that like to tune in and listen to the playlist here at Shadow Resistance Radio. So this episode will be available here beginning Sunday evening for download on Podomatic. You can listen to the embedded player at Shadow Resistance Radio or at Podomatic, shadowresistance.com. Today's show, I want to talk about unintended consequences. Unintended consequences is basically a phrase that's used basically to mean that any intervention in a system, it is going to end up having not just an intended result of what people want to have happen, but also some unanticipated and often undesirable outcomes. It's always sort of like a wry expression used to comment on humans and how hubristic we are in believing that we can control or fully control the world around us. So, with that being said, it's been used as a title of a book that a few people have read, Unintended Consequences by John Ross. And basically, this book is about it's a work of fiction with some historical fact worked in. Main character's name is Henry Bowman. And basically, it follows his, from his childhood all the way up to his adulthood, as being a member of the gun culture here in the United States, and how the U.S. government has basically their actions toward gun owners and the gun culture has basically been an irrational and relentless war against gun owners. And it basically talks about how, as if from a grassroots effort, the gun culture finally rose up and fought back in concert, in that they all simultaneously, basically this main character eventually anonymously postings on the interweb machine. This, of course, was during a time of a dial-up modem, so he would go to phone booths and plug in and dial up his internet connection and have these postings so that it couldn't be traced, and basically called on all government officials to resign, work for the federal government, or die. And basically he called upon other enthusiasts in the gun culture to basically take out hits on everyone who does not post that they have resigned from those positions. And then they actually set about, well, executing those people. Obviously extreme measures. But the book, as I said, it is fiction, ended up, the idea that he proposed actually worked, obviously, in the book, which is why it's obviously fiction. The reason I bring it up is because of the story this last week about Joe Stack. On Thursday, February 18th, 53-year-old financially strapped software engineer Joseph Stack crashed a small plane into an IRS building in Austin, Texas. He left behind a wife, a stepdaughter, and a suicide note he had posted on his software company's website. And basically, of course, by the following day, the various media pundits on the right and left had already dismissed Stack as a fringe lunatic. And anyone who agreed with his diatribe against an unjust government was labeled a crackpot. And it says, and I'm reading from John Whitehead, LouRockwell.com. says, basically, while you can and should disagree with the method of Stack's madness, Americans shouldn't be too quick to discount the source of his frustrations. I agree with John Whitehead here, but I would take it a step further. Of course he's going to be labeled as a crackpot, as a lone nut, a fringe lunatic. Because regardless of how you view his actions, regardless of the extremity of his actions, there's one thing you cannot dismiss. And that is the fact that this person had to have been extremely distressed in order to take such a drastic action and take his own life in this way, an attempt to lash out at the one government agency that he felt he could lash out at. Obviously, if he's under extreme stress or extreme frustration and so on, we're all under a lot of stress, we're all under a lot of frustration, but we don't go slamming planes into buildings. We leave that to Dick Cheney to do for us. But this guy, I have to say, he basically quoted, he stated, "In my lifetime, I can say with a great degree of certainty that there has never been a politician cast a vote on any matter with the likes of me or my interests in mind. Nor, for that matter, are they the least bit interested in me or anything I have to say." This is what I mean why I started calling this the top of this show. I called it Unintended Consequences. Now, basically, what Whitehead here says, he says that he is neither a hero nor a martyr, nor is he technically a terrorist. Rather, he is the end product of a system that pays little heed to the disaffected, discontent, and voiceless. He may have been alone in the cockpit of the Piper Cherokee plane, but he is not alone in his discontent and frustration. And, you know, I'm going on a limb to say this here, but this guy, Joe Stack, the title of this article was called "Is Joe Stack a Wake-Up Call to America?" And I would say yes, it should be a wake-up call, for the simple reason that, how do I say this without sounding, crazy myself? What I want to point out is that if everyone who had the level of frustration this guy obviously had, if everyone who had been wronged in the way he has been wronged, if everyone would actually take some sort of action. Now, obviously, I'm not proposing that people go flying planes into buildings, because, well, that would be a terrorist act, and I would be not condoning something like that. But if they were to take some sort of action in concert, together, then perhaps we would have a government that would be not quite so quick to run roughshod over our rights and, you know, manipulate our lives in the extreme ways that they do. In other shows, I have talked about how people like to believe that they have rights and freedom, but they never exercise them. As soon as people start exercising those rights and freedoms, they find out very quickly how few they have. Which is to say, at the DNC, the RNC back pre-election, when people were protesting how they were heinously beaten and subdued, oppressed, they were not allowed to speak their opinions. I said then, and what I say now, is if you are putting together a protest, you also need to act in concert with other groups who may or may not have the same belief systems as you do, or perhaps they do, or hell, just hire bodyguards. Hire bodyguards that are wearing helmets, carrying batons, and carrying shields the same way that the jackbooted thugs will when they come to repress your peaceful march. If a police force is all of a sudden faced with people who are dressed like they are and outfitted and armed, quite frankly, the way they are, I'm pretty darn sure that they would be less likely to stamp out any kind of protest. They might even just, well, I don't know, get out of the way. But you have to protect yourself. You have to, you have the right to defend yourself, and you have the right to organize. You have the right to protest. You have the right to speak, supposedly. Exercise those rights, but also dress for the event. That's what I'm saying. Arm yourself. Don't be afraid. It's your right. If you have a concealed carry permit, for example, and if people know that there are a group of citizens who are peacefully congregating and expressing their rights and exercising their rights, as well as their right to bear arms, I guarantee that you will be allowed to exercise those rights. I'm not saying going waving pistols around. I'm saying wear them where people can see them. Strap that shotgun to your back. Carry a shield. Wear a motorcycle helmet. And carry your sign. And see if anybody tries to stop you. I'm willing to say they probably won't. And basically, I'm saying this because even CNN.com, what I usually refer to as CONN, because it's nothing but a con job, they had to admit there was a survey that most Americans believe our government is broken. And so, going to play this quick clip for you, if I can cue it up here. It's pretty obvious that people are...
When you take 10 minutes to answer 10 questions, you help our community get what it needs. For the next, 10 years, we can't move forward until you mail it back. 2010 Census.
Yeah, that's great.
Republican Jim Douglas of Vermont is the chairman of the National Governors Association. Democrat Deval Patrick's Massachusetts is still feeling the aftershocks of having a Republican take Teddy Kennedy's seat. So you've come to frozen Washington. You've had your convention, or are in the midst of it, actually. So give us the view from outside. When I'm assuming some of these 86% of Americans live in your states.
Yes,
and what are they thinking?
Well, may I, Jim?
Go ahead.
First of all, I want to say we are very well led in the National Governors Association by Jim Douglas, who's a great friend, and we work together on a number of things. And frankly, I think that the public I represent is keen to see more of the kind of cooperation that Governor Douglas and I share. You know, I'm a Democrat. I'm proud to be a Democrat, but I didn't run to be governor of the Democrats. I serve everybody. And I think that expectation is there, and it's a fair and appropriate expectation of the public for people we send to Washington as well.
What most irks your Vermont folks?
Well, I think the gridlock that we see in Washington, to which Deval referred, we have two major political parties in our country, and that's fine. They have different points of view, and the robustness of the political process is that those views come to the table, they're debated and reconciled, but ultimately, something has to happen. The work has to be done. Streets have to be plowed, or the budget has to be balanced. And I agree that in the National Governors Association, we have a much more collegial relationship. We talk with each other. We learn from each other. Deval and I hosted a healthcare forum last spring at the request of the president. We have to get the job done. And when we look at Congress, all the bickering, the inaction, I think the American people are really fed up.
And if I may add, Candy, it's unseemly, to use a tactful term, to see so many people sit on the side, so many people in office sit on the sidelines and root for failure. I think most Americans, no matter what their political background or political party affiliation, if they have one, want their president to succeed. And I think this president, by focusing on health care, by focusing on job creation, by focusing on the anxieties and the sufferings of the people of this country, is focusing where people want him to. He does not pretend to have all the answers and never has. He's been open to ideas from other sides, and that has shown in the legislative agenda that he's pursued and the substance of that agenda. But I think that the American people are going to hold accountable those who simply sit on the sidelines and root for failure. We can't afford that.
And he said nothing. I let that play all the way through so that you can hear all of this doublespeak, doublethink garbage that is the left-right paradigm. This entire story, 86% of people questioning in a new poll say U.S. government is broken. Now, 86%. And I mean, if that is a reliable statistic, which from people I've talked to, I would have to say it is. He didn't even talk about. He talked about what he believed this number meant. That the left and right have to work together. Blah blah blah. Blee blee blee. But at the end of the day, we have to do something. Everyone. This gives the illusion that, he is actually saying something about why 86% of people think the U.S. government is broken. The 86% who think the government is broken know, just like Joe Stack stated, every single one of those people believe that what he said, quote, in my lifetime I can say with a great degree of certainty there's never been a politician casting a vote on any matter with the likes of me or my interests in mind, nor for that matter are they the least bit interested in me or anything I have to say. That is the sentiment of the 86%. And this guy, this governor, sitting there and saying what he believes this actually shows is, this, of course, they're upset because, people aren't working together and people are hoping for failure. Rhetoric. On top of that, this CNN article then goes on to say, says the percentage of Americans who believe the government is broken has increased by 8 points since 2006. Says that increase, quote, is highest among higher-income Americans and people who live in rural areas, said Keating Holland, CNN polling director. Maybe it's just a coincidence, but those are the groups that make up the bulk of the Tea Party activists today. So, basically, this Keating Holland, the CNN polling director, is blaming it on a obvious, well, let's see, higher-income Americans and people who live in rural areas. Must be a conservative problem, without actually calling it. And this is the bulk of the Tea Party activists today, which they just love to ridicule. Those people can't get their act together either. They think that they started out with a grassroots movement of actually a good idea of a protest. And of course, I remember a show that we did a while back discussing the Tea Party group, and of course everyone just loved calling them teabaggers with, the obvious innuendo and making fun of them in the process. And I always deride, I always make fun of this idea of the left-right paradigm, but I did happen to notice that Ron Paul was the surprise winner of the CPAC presidential straw poll. And CNN then, of course, puts their spin on that and says, of course, he could never, let's see, how does it say it? It just basically says that, it would, even though he was the surprise winner, that he would never stand a chance. It says, first of all, it starts out with a story. It says, with participants naming, quote, reducing the size of federal government as their top issue. The 74-year-old libertarian hero captured 31% of the 2,400 votes cast in the annual contest, usually seen as a barometer of how the GOP's conservative wing regards their potential presidential candidates. But since he won, must be not. Further down in the article, it says the announcement of Paul's win, a surprise victory unlikely to have a major impact on the 2012 presidential contest, even though earlier it says they usually it's the barometer of how they regard their candidates. But this time it isn't, because Ron Paul won. And then it goes on to say that the announcement of his win drew a volley of loud boos from the CPAC audience. And it also said that discontent could be seen in the poll results. A majority of participants said they wish the Republican Party had a better field of candidates to choose from. And then it goes on, but Paul's victory might be seen in part as a result of his support among anti-establishment Tea Party activists, who turned out in force at this year's conference and expressed some frustration with the Republican Party. Now, so what they've been able to do with this story is completely discount the fact that he won, discount the fact that he would be a viable candidate, and basically said, oh, it's all because the Tea Party Tea Party activists were all there. They weren't, but... CNN, politics, gotta love it. So, basically, to sum up here at the top of the show, I wanted to make sure we covered the idea of those unintended consequences and of unintended consequences such as Joe Stack and the fact that 86% of us basically feel the way he does. So, I have a little thing to say to you, government elites, you shadow government people. Does the name General Custer ring a bell?
You are listening to Shadow Resistance Radio. Broadcasting live on Sunday, noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join the resistance.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
We'll be right back.
Iron Maiden, Prisoner. I'm not a prisoner, I'm a free man, I'm not a number. Right. Shadow Resistance Radio, it is Sunday, 6.04 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, February the 21st, 2010. And, let's see, that was Sons of Liberty, We the People. After that was Megadeth, Endgame. Finishing up with Iron Maiden, The Prisoner. I love that tune. Coming up next, we're going to have Down Count, Backed Into a Corner. Great tune. Anyone catching on, there's a theme to the music here in today's show? Just wondering. Those of you who are, you know, a bit adept at picking up on those kinds of things. Down Count, pretty excited. Been talking with Doug Kendall, vocalist, lead vocalist of Down Count. Going to have him on the show here sometime soon, possibly this week. Doug, I hope you're listening to this. And like I said, love to have you on, discuss inspiration for your lyrics, you know, what basically first woke you up, what your musical influences are, those kinds of things, you know, the standard. And top of the show, I was talking about unintended consequences, and that's what I've been talking about here today. And I want to talk about how not just the government, but mostly the media has committed, you know, atrocities in the name of gun control against people. And these are, you know, the fantastic stories that are out there, like the guy that was busted in Virginia. He was obviously, let's see, the New Jersey lone gunman terror plot is what they referred to it as. And the article that I'm referring to, this was back in January from ABC News. The headline is what really killed me. Man busted with massive weapons cache. Sounds really scary, doesn't it? And then they listed the guns that he had. He had, let's see, there was one gun that a rifle had been with a defaced serial number and had been altered to fire 50 caliber ammunition. Okay, you're not supposed to do that. That's bad, mister. Detectives later searched the room where Woodson had been staying at the Red Mill Inn in Branchburg. Forrest said they seized another Bushmaster 308 caliber semi-automatic rifle with a defaced serial number, a 37mm Cobra grenade launcher. That sounds terrible. A second bulletproof vest, a Russian-made night vision scope, a police scanner, the maps of and hundreds of rounds of 50 caliber and 308 caliber ammunition. Everyone, a 308 is a hunting rifle. And the 37mm Cobra grenade launcher, I read an article following this up. It was a flare gun. Yeah, but it was a grenade launcher, according to this report. And that is the massive, massive weapons cache of the title. Two guns, bulletproof vest, night vision scope, and a flare gun. That's a massive, massive weapons cache. Another story, this was just recently, this was last week down in Gloucester, Massachusetts. I was in New England for the last week, and when this came on the news, my jaw dropped. And basically it says, man was arrested for weapons stockpile. And I don't understand. I don't understand the story at all. A man was arrested for weapons stockpile. Now listen to this. It says, a Massachusetts man allegedly preparing for, quote, Armageddon, is facing charges of having a stockpile of weapons and explosive devices, police say. And when you look at the list of the things that they found, listen to this. Acting on a tip from a friend of the man's wife. Members of BATF, go figure. In Boston, arrested 45-year-old Gregory Gerard Tuesday night in his home in Manchester. Gerard was charged with four counts of possession of grenade-type explosive devices, same things that policemen carry with them at all times. And this guy had a couple of sticks, and an expandable baton. Apparently, he's not allowed to own those. He pleaded not guilty, thankfully. It says, Mr. Gerard indicated he was preparing for Armageddon, which he felt was imminent, Police Chief Glenn McHale said. He added, Gerard said he felt martial law, quote, would soon be imposed. Police say they also found a large supply of medicine, about 20 weapons, and thousands of rounds of ammunition in the Gerard condominium. They also say they discovered several pairs of handcuffs, knives, a large collection of military camouflage clothing, night vision goggles, bulletproof vests and helmets, and 6 months' worth of food supplies throughout the dwelling. We don't think he was preparing to attack the community. He was preparing for domestic and political turmoil, McHale said. Smart guy. And now people who are preparing, the way we've been advocating on this show, the way other people advocate on their shows, the way that suppliers of food supplies have been promoting there, saying, hey, listen, just in case, you better stockpile it. Well, guess what? They're now coming after you if you actually do that, acting on a tip from a friend of the man's wife. That's right. The secret police are here. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why I'm so completely awed by this story, I don't know what he owned that was illegal. There's nothing here. These dangerous weapons, the police batons, he can't be charged with that unless he used them as weapons. Otherwise, they're just sticks. And I want to know more about it. It says he was charged with 4 counts of possession of grenade-type explosive devices. What the hell were they? Oh, it says, in the afterthought, including tear gas and explosive pepper ball canisters. So he basically had the same stuff the police have. I remember watching this on TV and looking at his stockpile of weapons. You know, he had a couple of shotguns, looked like, and so on. Nothing that was illegal. But because he's preparing for, well, the meltdown that is coming, he called it Armageddon. Well, I mean, he's going to use that as probably his defense, as a religious plea or something like that, freedom of religion or whatever. But the thing that kills me is that there was nothing in the story that really indicates that he broke the law. But since, you know, he's that, you know, wacky guy, he says, even the policeman says, oh, he wasn't going to attack, he was preparing for domestic and political turmoil. Just like the police are, by the way. They have been training for domestic and political turmoil for the last 5 years. NORCOM has been put in place, and they're ready to go, ready to roll out. So yeah, basically anybody who is preparing, make sure that your wives and girlfriends and their friends come over, that they don't, you know, see that you have 2 guns and a 6 month supply of food and medicine, because, they'll call the cops on you, and you'll be arrested for, defending your home. You'll be arrested for exercising, again, your rights. So, basically, this is where they have us, ladies and gentlemen. There are unintended consequences for this kind of behavior, for getting us backed into a corner here. That's right. Down count. Backed into a corner. This has been Shadow Resistance Radio. I'm signing off. 6:13 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Short show this week. Hopefully we'll have more coming up. Down count. Backed into a corner. Yeah.
Everywhere I turn, you're up in my face. What's in there? I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore! I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Stick your head out of the window, open it, and stick your head out and keep yelling and yell, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not gonna take this anymore. Just get up from your chairs right now, climb!
I'm mad as hell, how am I gonna take this anymore?
I'm mad as hell! I'm not gonna take it anymore!
I'm mad as hell and I'm not gonna take it anymore!
I'm not gonna take it anymore!
I'm not gonna take it
anymore!
Listening to Shadow Resistance Radio. Broadcasting live on Sunday, noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.